Well, praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, why don't you go ahead and open up with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be in verses 6 through 15 this morning. If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. I was going to say just use your smartphone. I'm sure you have one of those. But if you don't even have one of those, that's okay. You can open up to page 1332 in the Pew Bible in front of you. 1332 in the Pew Bible in front of you. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15 this morning. As you're opening there, it's very rare that this is the first time I get to speak to you here at First Baptist Church on Sunday mornings. And so I want to just say a few things, one of which is I want to make known to you something that's not in your chimes, but I think it's something you'll find interesting. Our very own Alan Back, as many of you know, he serves with Young Life at the Fulton Houses in New York City, and his Young Life group sort of serves as a youth group for a North American Mission Board church plant there in New York City as well. Alan is having a banquet fundraiser here, a dessert banquet fundraiser here at First Baptist tomorrow night in the Family Life Center. That's going to be from 6:30 to 7:30, as long as Kent Back doesn't get to speak, in which case it'll probably be a little longer, right, Kent? Okay, that's right. So, really though, anytime I get the opportunity to let Kent Back buy me dessert, I'm going to take it. So that's what I'm doing tomorrow night. I'm going to be here, and we here at First Baptist Church have voted to start supporting Alan on a monthly basis as well through our budget this coming year. And this will be a chance for you to come to see what's going on there at Young Life in New York City and to help support Alan in that. So tomorrow night, 6:30, and if you are interested in that, back in the vestibule, Kent has put a few flyers back there if you want to grab one of those so you are sure on the time and that sort of thing. Well, if you have your Bibles open to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, why don't you go ahead and stand with me out of reverence for the reading of the words of our God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to be in verses 6 through 15, and bear in mind that as the words on this page are being read, God Himself is speaking to you, beginning in verse 6. I'm sorry, I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here we go, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. Y'all have baptized this morning, it's thrown me off a little bit. Will you forgive me, please? I appreciate it. Beginning in verse 6, the point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency or all contentment in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Let's pray together. O Lord our God, we are thankful to you for the inexpressible gift of the gospel of Christ. And today, Father, impress upon our hearts that thanksgiving is a time of generosity for our joy and for your glory. Let us encounter the Lord Jesus Christ in this text of Scripture. It's in His name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What comes to your mind when you think about thanksgiving? What comes to your mind when you think about Thanksgiving? I, I love Thanksgiving at First Baptist Church. I love the fact that each year, right before the Sunday before Thanksgiving, we go downstairs and we share a meal together. I love that. And as I walked in this morning and I smelled the smells of Thanksgiving being cooked downstairs by Joyce and by others who are working on that, I was just reminded of how much I love this time together with you. Now, the smell of food cooking generally is a good thing, right? It's usually the kind of thing we like to smell. Last year about this time, my wife Whitney was pregnant with Ford. I'm going to tell you, that smell was not as welcome to her as it was to me when we came in the church that day. In fact, last year, Whitney watched the service on the television in the church office because she couldn't stand the smell of the Thanksgiving cooking because she was a little sick from being pregnant. So often when we think about Thanksgiving, we think about different things. We have different memories. That's a memory I think I'll always have. I'll remember when Whitney was pregnant with Ford and couldn't stand the smell of Thanksgiving lunch in the sanctuary. We all have different memories, different things we think of when it comes to Thanksgiving. I know many of you are anticipating even now watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. And some of the other stranger ones among us are looking forward to watching the dog show, my wife included, on Thanksgiving Day. I joke all the time and say that the most boring television show on the planet becomes really, really entertaining when you watch it with Whitney because she's such a dog lover. She really gets excited over the dog show. You think about Thanksgiving. You think about all these precious memories and Thanksgiving, but I want to remind you of something this morning, and I want to frame Thanksgiving in a way for you this morning that perhaps you've not thought of it before. I want you to remember that Thanksgiving is also a time for generosity. Thanksgiving is a time for generosity. We oftentimes think of it as a time that we're thankful for the blessings we've received. And indeed, we should be thankful for the blessings that we've received. But it should also be a time that as we thank God for what we've received, we are then in turn propelled to give and to bless others so that thanksgiving may abound among other people. We're here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 15 this morning, and I want to impress that point upon you today that thanksgiving is a time of generosity for our joy and for God's glory. Thanksgiving is a time of generosity for our joy and for God's glory. In context, Paul is talking about a special offering that's going to be taken up at the church at Corinth for believers in Jerusalem who are suffering. That's the kind of context of this passage. And so as we look through this passage, as we walk through verses 6 through 15 together, I want you to bear that in mind and bear in mind that point this morning that I'm showing you 4 points concerning your gratitude, generosity, and joy, and God's glory. 4 points this morning concerning this fact that Thanksgiving is a time for our joy and for God's glory. My first point this morning, simply enough, is this: generosity is for your joy. Your generosity is for your joy. Now, we oftentimes think in terms of generosity being for the joy of others, but we rarely remember that God created us to take joy in Him, and He made you today to recognize that your generosity is not only for the joy of others, but it's also for your own joy. Read with me in verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Generosity is for your joy. Now, have any of you ever given something under compulsion? Has that ever happened to you? Now, before we start raising hands, I'll raise mine first. I've given under compulsion before. Once when I was the pastoral intern at Dolphin Way Baptist Church in Mobile, my pastor and mentor, Clint Presley, sometimes gave me an opportunity to preach. And one Sunday night at Dolphin Way, I got the opportunity to preach. Now, Dolphin Way, just to put it in perspective, this sanctuary you're sitting in here holds about 1,000 people. Dolphin Way holds about 2,500 people in their sanctuary. It's a really big room, and it's a really intimidating room for a college student to preach in. So there I was preaching to those great folks at that great church. And one of the things I preached on was how we ought to be generous people. We ought to be giving people. We ought to be loving people. We ought to be the kind of people who give to those in need. And after I got done preaching that sermon and I found myself out to eat with some friends afterward, From across the room, a man spotted me out. Now, how he knew that I would be the one that he needed to talk to that night, I don't know. But in a room full of people in this restaurant, he came to me and asked me for help and asked me for money. So there I was, sitting in a restaurant, just got done preaching on how we ought to be good to people and be generous to people when they ask us for help, being asked for help. Do you think I had much of an option on whether or not I would give some money to that guy that night? It wouldn't have mattered if he had a bottle of alcohol in his hand. I had to help him out that night. Of course, I like to think that I would have given him some help anyway, but nonetheless, we sometimes find ourselves in a situation where we must give under compulsion, and sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where generosity doesn't really come easy, where cheerfulness and joy in giving seems like a foreign concept to us. I worked hard for it, and this person didn't. I worked hard for it, and now I feel the need to give to this person. We sometimes find ourselves frustrated by those people who ask for money all the time. Preachers get a bad rap. You know, that they always preach on giving, they always preach on tithing, all these kinds of things. Whitney and I had a home phone, a landline in our home, for about 6 weeks of our marriage. We both only use cell phones now. I'm kind of betraying the generation I'm a part of here. We both only use cell phones. I'm going to tell you why. We had the cheapest sort of $9 Walmart phone that hung on the wall in our kitchen in Kentucky. We decided to get a landline just because it came in the package deal with the cable and the internet. And every night, I'd get two or three phone calls on that landline. Now, how in the world they got the number, I'll never know. But every night, it was somebody soliciting another donation from me. So I would get up, I would walk to the kitchen, and somebody would ask me for money. I'd go and sit down. The phone would ring. I'd get up and I'd walk to the kitchen, someone asked me for money, then I'd go and sit down. And it happened enough that I finally called the people and said, I do not want this phone anymore. And they said, well, you're going to break your package. I will pay you anything it takes to get rid of this phone in my house. I'm getting called every night. We find ourselves frustrated so often by people asking for money. We rarely think in terms of generosity being for our own joy. But giving is a result of joy, and it leads to joy. Giving is a result of joy, and it leads to joy. Verse 7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. My friends, when you're a Christian and you give with joy. There's the joy of giving, but there is also the joy of bountiful reaping. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. You will never lose that which you give to God through the gospel of Christ. Now, I want you to know that doesn't mean that there's a check waiting on you that's going to come in your mailbox one day. Cannot stand. I loathe the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that swindles people out of their money by promising that if they sow this amount of money, they'll get this much in return in this life. That is not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching that when you sow bountifully in this life, you will indeed reap bountifully in the life to come. And as a Christian, you get a foretaste of the joy of heaven when you give your things away. You're recognizing when you give your stuff away, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he has every single intention to give it to all those who belong to him. So long as Jesus has a promised inheritance in heaven, so do I. There's a joy that comes in giving because when you give, you're recognizing your treasure is not in this earth, and you are recognizing that one day there will be great joy in bountiful reaping. But there's also the joy of contentment. The joy of contentment. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, verse 8, so that having all sufficiency, that's another way to translate the word contentment. In all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all contentment in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. When you give your things away, you find yourself content. And is there not joy in contentment? Is there not such great joy in contentment? But then finally, you also look to the joy of heaven. I've alluded to this already, but notice what verse 9 says. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. This is talking about someone who gives to the poor, who gives freely, and then his righteousness endures forever. This verse that's being quoted is telling of the fact that when you are generous according to the gospel, The righteousness that's given you through Christ will last forever. You look forward to the joy of heaven. Generosity is for your joy. But not only that, but generosity is a response to God's good gifts. That's our second point this morning. Generosity is a response to God's good gifts. Verses 10 and 11. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. God's good gifts are physical and spiritual. Verse 10, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. The physical gifts, so when I'm talking about physical gifts, material gifts that come to God, Paul is saying this, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply. He's pointing to the way that God sustains life on this planet, providing seed for farmers to sow and to raise food. He provides bread to those who are hungry. When you need food, God provides things in the world so you can make bread and eat it. He's pointing generally to the material blessings that we receive. These are physical gifts, but then he turns from physical gifts and he uses God as the benevolent giver of physical gifts to remind us of God, the benevolent giver of spiritual gifts. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Paul is using this flow of logic here to remind you that when you sit down to Thanksgiving dinner, to a table full of food, and when you go home tonight and you open up a refrigerator full of food in a house that is warm, when you look to the ways that God has provided for you in physical ways, you're reminded that He will also provide for you in spiritual ways. These physical gifts are meant to point us to the greater spiritual gifts, and therefore God's supply of good gifts in a physical way and in a spiritual way leads to generosity. When you have received good physical gifts, which point you to better spiritual gifts, then you're led to be generous in every way. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Therefore, God who gives good physical gifts will then give you good spiritual gifts, and therefore you'll be enriched spiritually, which gives you a fresh perspective on the gifts God's given you physically that in turn leads you to be generous. Did Jesus not commend the widow who gave such a small fraction of what she gave? And does a passage like this not apply to someone who doesn't have the world's goods as much as it does someone who does? Have you not ever met someone with a lot more money to you than you that seemed a lot more discontent than you? Have you ever met that person who you know has got enough money but always says they don't? And have you not ever met that person who you know doesn't have enough but just seems to be satisfied? Isn't life often about perspective? And the perspective that the Scriptures are giving each and every one of us on money and on the world's goods and on things is that these things that God has given us, whether they be great or whether they be small in our current estimation, begin to look perfect when we see them with spiritual eyes, when we start to receive the spiritual gifts that God has given us, when we begin to assess things in light of eternity, we begin to see that God is leading us to be generous. It's exactly what the Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? When you have received good physical gifts and they point you to better spiritual gifts, it leads to generosity. Generosity is for your joy. Generosity is a response to God's good gifts. And generosity produces thanksgiving. Generosity produces thanksgiving. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission, flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. For the ministry of this service is not only, verse 12, supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in what? In many thanksgivings to God. Your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God. This offering that will come from the Corinthian believers to Jerusalem is meeting the needs of the saints in Jerusalem. If you think about the context I talked to you about earlier, but it is doing something more. It is overflowing out of a mere exchange of the world's goods, where one group of people has more than enough and another group of people has less than enough. And so God, by His grace, uses the people with more to give to the people with less. God does that through this. And it seems on the surface then that that's enough. But it does more than that. It grows from there, because not only does it simply meet the need of these Jerusalem Christians, but it goes beyond that, because it overflows, Paul said. It produces, Paul says, thanksgiving to God. It is overflowing in thanksgivings to God. The gratitude of the suffering Jerusalem believers, the gratitude of Paul and the other apostles at the Lord's work through the Corinthians, the gratitude of the Corinthians themselves, who, when they're able to give away some of what they have to people who don't have enough and they still are provided for, they're grateful to God in this. And God takes pleasure in this thankfulness. And I'm building an argument here from this text of Scripture that what's happening here is a progression of good things, right? You have good physical gifts that are given to God's people and they rejoice in them. And then God gives good spiritual gifts to His people, which leads them to be generous, right? And they give to others. And then the most glorious thing of all happens. People praise the Lord. People worship God. They overflow in thanksgivings. God takes pleasure in our thankfulness. Think of the scores of psalms and other scriptures which ascribe praises of thanksgiving to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord, O you His saints, and give thanks to His holy name. That's Psalm chapter 30, verse 4. We will give thanks to your name forever, Psalm 44, 8. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, Psalm 92, 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Psalms 106, 107, 118, and 136. All throughout the Psalms is the echoing refrain of God desiring His people to be thankful to Him, and for God's people being thankful for Him and giving thanksgiving to Him in praises. Now, we know that the book of Psalms is the hymn book of the Israelite people. It's the one group of hymns that God ever inspired and authorized Himself. It's exactly what God wants His people to sing. It's exactly how God wants His people to praise Him. And all throughout the Psalms, there are praises of thanksgiving. And we know that God is zealous for worship because He deserves it. And if we worship Him as we should, it's for His glory and for our own joy. And so when we look and we see the way that generosity produces thankfulness, we should rejoice in generosity, because we know that when people are thankful to God in heaven, God rejoices in that. God takes pleasure in that. So let me put some feet on this for you. As you give thanks to God for all you have received this Thanksgiving, think of the ways that your generosity as a church multiplies thanksgiving. When you give to First Baptist Church, when you're generous in the offering plate here and other ways at First Baptist Church, you're helping to support many who make a living by serving you, including myself. As we approach Christmas, every gift I give, every gift that I enjoy, every gift that I receive, every good thing that we enjoy as a family, every gift I give to my children, we will rejoice in God and we will thank Him for His blessings that He gives us through the generosity of His people. And not just me that makes a living based on your generosity, but others here, our ministerial staff and other support staff, we're grateful to God for the way that you're generous. And so when you give to the Lord, you're not just simply giving to the church and giving to us, but you're giving us cause to praise and thank God for the way that we are provided for. And when you give to the church, some of that money goes to the cooperative program, which supports lots of important ministries in the Southern Baptist Convention. And think of the thanksgiving that comes from that generosity. Think of the thanksgiving that comes as we have seminary students who learn to be pastors based on the generosity of Southern Baptist churches. As we think through the North American Mission Board missionaries who are planting churches through the generosity of Southern Baptist churches. Think of the thanksgiving of those who are overseas, who receive the gospel with great joy and thank God. And that money that you put in the offering plate is traced all the way to new believers somewhere else. Think of these vastly lost areas of our own country and the people who would have never heard the gospel had it not been for Southern Baptist generosity that came through the cooperative program and funded these efforts. When you give a shoebox to Samaritan's Purse, as so many of you have, think of the way you multiply thanksgiving to God. The way you multiply thanksgiving to God here in the churches who also give shoeboxes, and we hear the reports back on the way it's borne fruit. Think of the children who receive those shoeboxes. Think of the missionaries who thank God for this inn in the lives of many when they can go and provide for them this Christmas gift and then share the gospel with them. And think of those who come to know Christ through this generosity. Think of the way that thanksgiving is multiplied to God, and not only in this life but in the ages to come, that when you're generous in the offering plate and you have people who once did not know Christ who do now know Christ, who will praise and thank God for His glorious grace forever, and it can be linked back to a simple moment of obedience when Christians somewhere chose to be generous. When you give to the Lottie Moon offering, which I encourage you to do, and every penny of that goes to the support of missionary work all over the globe, to the International Mission Board. Think of the way their work is supported. And then imagine those they lead to Christ. And when someone repents and believes the gospel, we know that there is rejoicing in heavens. And so when you drop a Lottie Moon offering into the offering plate, and it gently lands in the plate, sound of that offering reverberates all throughout the world into the highest heaven, all the way to the ears of our good and our great God, who takes pleasure in the thankful praise of His people. Your generosity is for your joy, and your generosity is a response to God's good gifts, but your generosity produces thanksgiving. Your generosity produces thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God. And that leads us to our last point this morning. Generosity is for the glory of God. Generosity is for the glory of God. Notice what the Scriptures say in verses 13 through 15. By their approval of this service, that is the Jerusalem Christians who received this offering, they will glorify God because of your submission flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Generosity is for the glory of God and prayer. Generosity will lead these Jerusalem Christians to pray for the Corinthian Christians. It's going to lead them to pray for them. When you are generous, when you give, it leads people to pray and thank the Lord. It leads people to pray for you. And God is glorified when His people pray. God is glorified when His people pray. Is it not a miracle? Just think about it. Just think about it for just a minute. Is it not a miracle the way that God has given us resources to fund the gospel? Isn't it amazing that God's given you little stacks of paper, little bank accounts of numbers? And you can take those pieces of paper and you can take those little numbers and you can leverage those things for the glory of God. You can impact eternal things with temporary things. You can take money that used to be worth a lot more than it is right now, right? That's right, inflation and everything else happens. You can take money that's fading, and you can use it to impact things that will never fade, that will never end. You can use your resources that God has given you that are temporary and that are finite and that are limited, and you can use them and leverage them in ways that produces thanksgiving and glory for God that never ends. You can use your church to impact eternity. You can use the resources that God has given you to impact eternity. Isn't it a miracle that God has given us bank accounts with numbers and little stacks of paper that we can use to impact Him and His kingdom forever and ever and ever and ever? Generosity is a picture of the glorious grace of God in our lives, and we use these resources that God has given us to be generous, and the glory of God leads people to prayer. But it also is for the glory of God in His grace. It's also for the glory of God in His grace. Verse 14. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. They pray for them and they glorify God because of the surpassing grace of God upon them. Generosity, as much as almost anything else in the Christian life, is a picture of the glorious grace of God in our lives. When we give generously, we are pointing people to the fact that God has given generously to us. When we give generously to others, we are pointing people to the fact that our treasure is not of this world. When we give generously, we're pointing to the fact that we are recipients of grace. When we're gracious to others, generosity is for the glory of God in prayer. Generosity is for the glory of God in His grace. And generosity is for the glory of God in the gospel of Christ. Generosity is for the glory of God in the gospel of Christ. By their approval of this, verse 13, of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission. They will glorify God because of your submission. And your submission is flowing from your confession of the gospel of Christ. Verse 15, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. My friends, what you do with your money, what we do with our resources, is a picture, when we are generous, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. More than anything, generosity is a sign that we have submitted to the gospel of Christ, the inexpressible gift of God that He's given us. When we give generously, we are showing that Jesus Christ and not the things of this world is our Lord. When we give generously, when we have generosity, it is for the glory of God. Because He has brought us out of darkness and into light. He has blessed us in countless ways, not only in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. It should grant us a perspective that recognizes that more than keeping our things will give us joy, giving our things for the sake of the gospel will give us joy. This is the most generous church I know of. I want to say it very plainly. It's the most generous church I know of. And for that reason, I'm grateful for the act of God in your lives through the gospel of Christ. But I want to remind you this morning and remind myself this morning that thanksgiving is a time for generosity, for your joy, and for God's glory. I want to offer an invitation this morning. I want to say to you this. You may look at me and say, "Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I've not been as generous as I ought to be. Preacher, I'm a Christian, but I'm not given to the Lord like I ought to." I'd love to talk to you this morning about what it might mean for you to begin faithful generosity in the name of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Second of all, you may not be a Christian. You may say to me, "Preacher, I've put my hope in my things for far too long. I'm ready to put my hope in Christ today." Generosity doesn't make sense to me because I don't have a gospel-centered worldview. I don't get why you people would want to give your things away. I want to cling to mine. I understand that. And if Jesus is still in a hole in the ground somewhere outside Jerusalem, then you better hang on to it tight. But He's not. He's at the right hand of the Father, and He's Lord of all things, including your wallet. And so if you've never bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ for the first time, He didn't need your money. He's not looking for your money. He's looking for your life. I'd love to talk to you this morning about you coming to know Jesus for the first time. Finally, you may be looking for a church home. We're a church that's committed to generosity and is committed to faithful stewardship. And we want to leverage our resources for the glory of God and His gospel all across the world. If you're looking to be a part of that kind of church, I'd love to talk to you this morning about what it might mean for you to become a member at First Baptist Church Gadsden. After this prayer, let me invite you to come. Let's pray together. Oh Lord our God, thank you for the Bible, and thank you for the way that your Spirit, by your grace, according to the gospel of your Son Jesus Christ, sets us free from slavery to material things and sets us free unto slavery to Christ. Oh God, I pray that everyone who doesn't have that freedom would gain it today.